I was down a Reddit rabbit hole. Kind of forgot where I was. I looked up from my phone and here I am in the studio.
What's your... All right, I might regret this. What's your most visited Reddit non-porn? If it is porn, I don't want to know. If it isn't...
I'm not just going to start talking about porn.
Well, no, I figured.
Mike.
But like, that's like half of Reddit. Welcome to the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast, the only Survivor podcast that dedicates itself to Jason. Jason the bitch. That bitch Jason. You know, the bitch who is Jason. That bitch.
The artist formerly known as that bitch Jason.
I'm your host, Stephen Levine, with my co-host, Jared Sheldon. Jared, who's that bitch?
It's Jason.
Man.
Who's that bitch? Who's that bitch? It's Jason.
I forgot about this scene. I remember that Natalie was ruthless at some point, but like, man.
It goes on for so long.
It goes so hard.
I love this episode. This is how you do an episode where the vote is obvious.
It's, yeah. You just absolutely rail him into the ground.
Like, even without the idol, it would have been more obvious vote without the idol, of course.
Right.
So that gave them a little bit of like more editing stuff to play around with, but it's one of the more obvious votes of a season. Like, we're at that point in the season where the votes are obvious, but the narrative they construct around it makes this a great episode.
I was just smiling a lot. It was a good time.
You know the Jack Nicholson, like,
yeah.
That was me the entire episode.
Okay. Do you have anything you want to talk about pre-show? Because I have an improv exercise for us once you're done with whatever you're doing.
Oh, okay. Well, Steven, have you heard of the TikTok trend or song? There's a McDonald's in the Pentagon. Oh, dang, I was going to play it for you.
No, please just talk about it.
I am obsessed with that fucking sound. It's been stuck in my head for a week. If you want to know what having ADHD is like, just put headphones in and have someone or find a program that will play it randomly through the headphones with no control over when it starts or stops. That is having ADHD. But I've been there's a McDonald's in the Pentagon. It's on Spotify now.
Is it?
Okay. Yeah, I think Ska might be back, man.
Ska's back.
I'm ready to throw down in a pit.
So I have kind of limited my TikTok usage.
Same.
I just like have taken it way down from... I used to just watch it a lot on the train. Mm. Now I'm trying to keep it under like an hour or two a week. And that means I get all of the like backloaded content that everyone has been experiencing for a long time.
Sure. Yeah. There's some stuff I see that's like political where I have to open up the comments to see like when it was posted.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I've seen one where I was like, that seems like I've heard of like, this was a thing a while ago. Oh, it was posted in January.
Yeah.
All right.
But then suddenly I'm inundated with like 12 videos in a row that are,
there's a McDonald's in the Pentagon.
Yeah, exactly.
It did not go well for Taco Bell.
Honestly, it's a bop.
It's such a bop.
And I do love some ska. As much as I hate to admit it, ska has some great songs.
Listen, why do we pretend that ska isn't good? I mean, is it like, are the people that like ska a little cringy? Yes, yeah. Absolutely. But are like, I love saxophones and trumpets and trombones.
I was like, trombone's the key one here.
Yeah, they're all in there.
They're all
trombone,
important.
You're right, trombone's the big one. But we need more brass instruments in modern music.
I agree.
Anyway, improv exercise?
Yeah, I have an improv exercise.
Okay.
It's kind of inspired by recent viewing habits of Steven. So I'll ask questions first and then explain later.
Okay.
We're going to do a little bit of a Mad Lib, so to speak.
Okay.
And we're going to create the title of something. So I'm going to do this slightly out of order. Give me a past tense verb.
Eight.
Give me a noun.
Hotel California. The Hotel California, to be specific.
Well, then I have to go back and I have to delete my note here.
The artist formerly known as the Hotel California.
An exclamation? A one-word exclamation?
By God!
That is specifically two words?
No, you do it as you put it as one word.
Okay.
By God!
We have created an isekai.
Oh my God!
So, by God, I've eaten into the Hotel California in another world. It didn't work as well as I wanted it to. Anyway, I've been watching a lot of anime lately.
Yeah, and a lot of isekais.
I have, like, jumped around, and isekais hit and miss. The whole point in this are, well, there's so many stupid titles of isekais out there.
Yes, and for those of you that don't know what an isekai is, it is, the most famous one would be, oh, what's that one that was good for, like, one season, and then it fell off a plant, or it fell off a fucking cliff?
Are you talking Sword Art Online?
Sword Art Online, yes.
I actually really like Sword Art Online.
I heard a lot of people liked the first season and then they hated it, but to each their own. I didn't watch it. I can't judge it. It's where you are a person, or they, like, the protagonist is a person in one world and then they get sucked into another world, basically.
Where suddenly they're all powerful and like, oh, this is great.
Sometimes. There are isekais where they are very much not all powerful.
Yeah. There's like one where they're like transformed into a spider or something, and like a chair or something stupid. Like, my God. Or did we need this?
There's a famous one called, like, it's hard to pick up girls as a slime in the dungeon or something like that. I might be combining two of them. And a lot of them are like pulp smut.
Yeah.
Rom-com type things, or go into really perverse territories, but not all of them. And I'm assuming not the ones Steven are watching. Although if you are, hey, whatever, man.
Well, okay, so...
Oh, okay.
I'm going to admit to something.
You don't have to put yourself
here
on blast.
No, I'm not going to put myself on blast, but this is what inspired this, is I was just scrolling, and I saw something that I was like, okay, this sounds so stupid. I have to understand the premise here. It's... I forget what the actual title is, but it's something along the lines of the 100 girlfriends who love you very, very much. And, like, the harem anime is a trope, and I'd heard of this one because someone's like, the plot is very stupid, but I want to see how it works. And so this kid boy, I don't know, he's like 15.
A lot of anime takes place in high school because that's the last time. Like, listen, Japan has a very oppressive work culture.
Yeah,
and so that's a lot of times the last time those people in that work culture felt free.
Mm-hmm. I do so wish they would raise their character ages to 18.
To college? Yeah, that'd be great.
That would be great. I would love that.
Yeah.
Anyway, this boy has been rejected 100 times, so he is blessed by a shrine god to then have 100 true loves. And if he rejects any of them, they die.
Oh.
So I'm like, okay, what the hell? And why?
As someone who is always afraid of letting people down.
Uh-huh. This is the ultimate. You let them down, they die.
Dude, I don't know what the fuck my life would look like. It wouldn't be my life anymore. I would just be at the whims of whoever was the nearest person. Because if I say anything mean to them, they might die. Yeah.
So I intended to watch one or two episodes. I have watched like 8 at this point.
Is it good?
I wouldn't call it that.
Okay.
But how they continually just work themselves in this corner of, he locks eyes with someone, realizes that they're true love, and then he's like, all right, I guess I got to go date this one now. Meanwhile, you would think that the other ones would be like, no, this is obnoxious, stop dating all these other people. Nah, they're totally in on it. They're like, no, you go kiss that woman right now.
Yeah, Steven, you've never done E&M.
You go
or known anyone who has, clearly.
But oh my God, it's just, it is what it is. It's bonkers, man. This sent me down the rabbit hole of anime is weird sometimes.
Oh, anime is weird most of the time. And
it's a car crash and you can't look away.
Man, it's so hit or miss. And there are so many animes that I've watched where I like it. And then I'm like, oh God, yep, there's the weird. There's the
fan service.
There's the thing I didn't really want in this. Okay, and we're back. Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank God.
Even like Sword Art Online, which I like, there's a weird incest plot line that I don't want in there.
Yeah.
We didn't need it there.
You probably watched more anime than I have, which is weird when you think about both of our vibes.
That is kind of true. Yeah. But, like, I kind of grew up on anime.
I did, too, kind of.
I mean, like, the...
Middle school on.
Not Adult Swim. The Toonami block was, like, my jam. Watching Naruto through. Mm.
I watched Naruto until I got bullied so hard I stopped watching Naruto. I came back.
I've probably said this on the show before, but I definitely had a Naruto shirt that I'm pretty sure my dad threw away.
Your dad's the real MVP.
I get it.
Good on him. No, but I bought like the Shonen Jumps at the from like the Scholastic guides.
Oh,
yeah.
I was not given that option.
Again, whoever did that was the real MVP for you, because it wasn't a good experience.
It wasn't a good life choice. You know what is a life choice that is good? Emails. You can email us if you want to, survivortbt@gmail.com, or you can message us on Reddit, u/survivortbt, or on Patreon. You can send us messages all around. I had it on the right email mailbox, and then I just went to the wrong mailbox.
Just start reading your own personal emails.
Yeah, sure. From Taco Bell. You have a reward at Taco Bell. Great, thank you. Anyway, Carl's episode 9 email, picture of the episode. I'll explain. Hold on. Let me explain. It's a drawing from Eliza. I'm livid, but also the real photo.
Where she's kind of livid.
Notes. I would say the It's a Fucking Stick scene is probably one of the 5 to 10 most famous scenes in all of Survivor history, and one of the 2 or 3 most famous comedy scenes, if not number one. I particularly love that when Eliza tells him it's a fucking stick, Jason's response is, I know. Don't worry, it has a face on it.
God, I almost am sad he's gone. I'm not. but, man, what a fucking idiot.
The whole scene is gold, though, and I could rewatch it 20 times and laugh every time.
Yep.
Bravo to everyone included. Oh, man.
The producers were onto something, saying, hey, you better fucking get that footage.
Yep. Eliza shared this anecdote about the scene. The funniest thing about the whole stick incident was what happened when I was going to get it out of the bag.
Oh, yeah.
We talked about. Yeah. People, everyone like running to go take a look at her with the cameras like, something's not right here. Oops. About the I'm livid pick. Amanda in this episode says, I'm livid when talking about Parv signing her up for the Fans Alliance. The quote spawned a whole web series on Survivor Sucks called The Many Adventures of Livid Manda that was basically a spoof of the season from Amanda's point of view, told by cartoon drawings. For example, hey guys, it's me. Everyone looks at her. Huh? Who? I'm livid. Great. Or, oh my god, these are very like South Park-y drawings.
It's 2008.
OMG, WTF, little Ozlets are coming. Lol, 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 Ozzy and Amanda sitting in a tree. Lol, giggle, snort, I can't believe it. Ha,
oh,
ha, ha.
God, early internet was so cringe.
I'm livid. Sadly, because the internet is now a rotting husk of inshittified soullessness,
yeah,
much of the series has tragically been lost to the void, but we'll always have the memories. That's so funny. And also, Eric's Dabu name came from a World of Warcraft.
Wait, which part? Because I knew the word just kind of sounds like something like caveman-ish, but I played World of Warcraft.
It was apparently the grunt sound of the orc unit. God,
oh
I love
God,
him.
You're so right.
Dabu.
Oh my God. That's why I just thought it was like a generic Oonga Boonga sound, because it literally is from, I played the Warcraft games and World of Warcraft. That's so funny.
That's what it is. Good stuff. Thank you. From Josh. Josh says, I can get into it later, but there was allegedly a last second switch in the theme for South Pacific, so Ozzy was brought in as a last second replacement.
Huh.
It was revealed postseason that Amanda fully knew Ozzy was getting voted out, but didn't own up to it to the cameras because she still wanted to date him after the show.
That's hilarious.
She knew how bitter he would be and that he would break up with her immediately if he found out. All the favorites would intentionally have conversations they didn't want on the show, off camera, such as Amanda, Parv, and Ceree working on the Ozzy blind side.
So wait, Amanda just pretends to not know, like that she didn't know in this episode?
Wild.
That's weird.
That is kind of weird.
Okay. Listen.
I don't know, to intentionally make yourself look out of the loop, I get, but in this situation, it pulls you no favor.
I don't really understand why you'd want to date somebody that you feel like you have to, that is so intense about this kind of thing, that months later, in a game, they would break up with you over.
Sure.
Like, that's not someone I'd be interested in going out with, personally.
I find it interesting in Ozzy's Ponderosa that he thinks Eric flipped and not Parv. Shows how jury members don't always get perfect info, which can affect things.
I mean, he learns at this tribal, though.
Yeah.
Like, James straight out says Parv got what she wanted, and actually Ozzy reacts, yeah. So that makes a lot of sense now.
Yeah. I find it funny that Jared sounded so shocked about how unfair it is to have a season of Amazing Race where former Amazing Race teams compete against Survivor and Big Brother teams. This is just the exact format of fans versus favorite, so I really wasn't anything new.
I mean, I talked about it for the whole first, like, four episodes of this season, how unfair it was for them.
Returning players always have a huge advantage in all of these reality games. Funny.
Admittedly, Survivor, you have a bigger advantage than Amazing Race.
I don't know. Because Amazing Race is so much about the getting in and doing the thing. Like, yes, the rhythm of it, I think, would be the biggest challenge. And, like, knowing when you're okay to sleep, knowing when you're...
that's true.
Like, this is my 12-hour time limit. How much is 12 hours? Oh, God, oh, God.
Yeah, that's a good point. It has been... Like, I haven't seen Amazing Race since I was a kid.
Mm.
So I'm going off some flawed memories there.
There is one specific game the system thing that was brought up of a Survivor player playing Amazing Race where they're like, hey, we get a time penalty because I don't want to do this, but I'm going to convince this other person not to do this so that they also have a time penalty. It's great.
Huh, interesting.
I won't go into it, but it's great. Anyway, Carl's episode 10 email. No way did I just hear Matt McClung in Survivor TBT episode. Dead. Yeah, he basically pops up out of the earth once a year to win a dunk contest before returning to play for the Osicola Magic.
Is that a real team?
That is the G League team for the Orlando Magic.
Wow. Okay. Orlando Magic. I was like, I know Osicola is Florida, but okay.
Not a bad life. Also, I forget who mentioned Ponderosa, but that's a great call. I forgot that started in Micronesia. It was cool not just because you got more footage, but because you could see how the jury was thinking and start to kind of rule out who couldn't win based on that.
Mm. Do they still do Ponderosa now?
I don't think so.
Because I could see that being part of the reason. Like, they want to make it seem like anybody can win, right?
They might... I don't think they do it as a web series anymore. They might release clips on, like, social media afterward, but not a full-on produced show.
Okay.
Gotcha. As far as I know. But I'm sure many people will correct me if
I'm
wrong.
Now that I've said that out loud, we'll get emails on it.
I've heard there's a clip where they're ferrying the jurors to and from tribal council with black hoods over their heads, like the Nazgul from Lord of the Rings.
Hilarious. Is that because Rupert was going to go back from Ponderosa to stab Johnny Fairplace? They have to hide where they're at?
Maybe. Picture the episode. It's the Eliza reaction, as it should be.
As it should be.
Yeah. Note, the Ozzy blindside is obviously a very famous blindside in Survivor lore and has a lot of historical importance, which I think I'll wait till after the season to discuss, but it was part of what made Micronesia so influential for sure. Elijah's jury reactions are similarly iconic and influential for future jurors, for better or worse. Jared says that Parv is running the game right now, so I'm going to ask, who do you guys think has more influence right now, Suri or Parv?
I think Parv... I was going to talk about this later in the episode, but you know, this is a great segue. Parv has more influence, but also more threat.
Mm.
And that is... Man, trying to walk the line of getting credit for things without getting all of the threat for things is really tough. Because Parv is now very visibly, like, a possible winner. Or maybe they still go by the bitter jury theory and James and Ozzy are two votes that won't be for her and you try to stack, you know, you count votes from there. But I think that Parv is ahead right now, but Suri... She might have peaked too early. Like, Suri can flip the game on her. Hell, if she's willing to put aside her pride and go with the fans, if you do get to a final all female final five, then she can grab those two fans and maybe get Parv out of there.
I'm going to go with you on the same boat that I think Parv has the stronger, is leading the game right now, or like controlling the game, I think was the exact word we're looking at. Solely on the fact that she has the influence over those fans.
She's keeping two different coalitions together. of Amanda and Ceri and Natalie and Alexis.
And like you said, it's a lot of risk-reward here that if these people who are clearly upset with you about that, if they ever decide to do something about that, then what's power without winning?
Yeah.
Versus Ceri, who's like, okay, yes, manipulating and pulling a lot of favor one way or another, but I would say she doesn't have the pull over those two fans right now.
My prediction would be that Parv go, if you get an all female final five, which I think is what will happen unless immunity, and Parv doesn't win that final five immunity or get the idol somehow, which I think can still be played at five, I think that Parv's the swing vote, gets rid of probably Alexis because motivational speaker, and then Amanda and Ceri get Natalie and then get rid of Parv, and then your final three is Ceri, Amanda, Natalie. That's my guess.
That's your guess.
Because Natalie's got a lot of blood on her hands, so she is not as threatening as Alexis.
Okay. Carl says, personally, I'm strongly team Ceri. While we see that she has the idea to blindside Ozzy, has been discussing it for several episodes, and is one to initiate the conversation for his boot. We also see her make friends with Parv's new fan allies, Alexis and Natalie, without actually making an official alliance with them.
Yep.
As far as we see, which gives her more flexibility to maneuver in the game than Parv, and we see her tell the others not to let Amanda or James in on their plan, which is the whole reason it works. But I'm curious.
Although maybe Amanda was in on it anyway, I guess.
Yeah, so interesting. Anyway, yeah, we talked about that. And then
thank you. That's a great question.
It's a good question. Overall, this might be one of the best episodes ever. Great reward scene with Eric. Great immunity challenge. Legendary blindside. Edited to perfection.
Yeah.
People were raving about this episode, and rightfully so.
What's funny is I like this episode better than the Ozzy blindside.
Really?
Well,
is it just because of the comeuppance?
I think part of what it is that the Ozzy episode, even though it's new to me, is clearly a classic. Like, it is, when I think of what Survivor can be, it's the Ozzy episode. But classics almost become not as good over time because then the things that build off of them are better. So, like, you think of, like, music from, like, like Stairway to Heaven, amazing song. But then we got 20 years of artists listening to Stairway to Heaven and making their own music, and it's like, oh, so you hear Stairway to Heaven for the first time after hearing 20 years of that music, and you go, oh, that's good, but it's not as good as the 20 years of things that got inspired off of it.
You know, Stairway to Heaven is good, but it's no Stairway to Heaven.
So it's like, that episode is amazing. It's also like what I think of when I think of Survivor, so it's the standard and not the peak. Whereas this episode's weird and fun, and I, with the whole time, was going, what the fuck is this?
Honestly, to each their own. We just watched, I personally, not Jared, watched the premiere of 48. And there were some things that I'm like, I don't really care about this. There was a really heartfelt moment that almost brought me to tears because I'm like, this is just, like, nice.
Hmm.
I like this. I don't know that it's right for Survivor, but I like this.
And don't hear I'm not saying. I really like the Aussie boot episode.
Yeah.
I like them both a lot. They're both very good.
All right. And then the last little note here. Finally, I really liked Ozzy's little line in this episode that he took a lesson from Yao Man with the fake idol. Just because his is obviously the more famous fake idol, so it's cool to hear him credit the OG in Yao Man.
Yeah, because Yao Man, nothing ever came of Yao Man's.
Yeah. So that's all my emails. I do have one Reddit message that I don't know how you're going to feel about. This is from Bro My God. It's a picture of a heinous-looking drink. Reddit says this is called a Chicago Fire. How much do I have to donate on Patreon to get a TikTok of you both taking a shot of this? Now, I'm going to show you the picture here, and then I will read what's going on. So there you go.
What is Rumple and what is Fernet?
Okay, so it's in layers. Top layer, Malort, Fernet, Rumple, and Fireball.
What's funny is I hate Fireball more than Malort at this point.
That sounds like a problem. All of the above.
What are those two things in the middle?
I don't know exactly what Fernet is. Rumple, I feel like, is like a mint something. You're going to Google this?
I'm going to Google it.
All right, yeah, go ahead. Fernet and Rumple. Tell me what you find.
Rumple can't be real.
It's definitely real.
There's a McDonald's in the pit.
I was literally just dancing to it. Fernet is a bittersweet Italian Amaro liqueur.
Oh, God. Not an Amaro.
And what was the other one? The one that isn't real?
Rumple?
Rumple.
The one that isn't real? The one that's part of your imagination?
A German-style 100-proof peppermint schnapps liqueur, known for its bracing, cooling taste, and smooth finish. No, it's not. I promise you it's not.
Okay, Jared. So I guess the question is, what does it take for us to do this?
Here's the thing. You said you thought I wouldn't like it. Steven, I'm always down for a bit.
Oh, okay.
So, like, I mean, I guess $10 so we can buy the alcohol.
I'm going to say I don't want...
We already have the Malort.
We do have the Malort. We'd have to go buy... I don't have any Fireball. You would think I might. I'm going to say this. If you so choose and people want us to do this, I am down. I'll probably make it a shot and like layer it in a shot glass and not in a full-on whiskey glass.
Yeah.
Because that...
I think that is a shot glass.
Is it?
I think it's just really zoomed in.
Oh, okay. I want to do it this way. I don't want you to donate money to us. Let's find a good charity.
That's a good point.
And
we'll put the link in this episode.
Yeah, we'll put the link in this episode. If you want to Venmo or do something to donate to a charity, if we get what? What's how low do we go here? $50? $100?
You know, I run a charity.
You do run a charity?
No, that's too selfish. Well, yeah. I'd say $20.
I'll split the difference. Let's go $50.
Okay.
If you want a picture of us doing this absolutely
video
heinous shot between everyone, we'll do. If you get $50, we'll donate.
If you donate $50, we'll do the shot.
Yeah. I don't want one person to donate $50 though. That seems like too.
Yeah. If we get close, if we get close or we get to 20, I'll just do it, and Steven won't.
I don't want that either. Anyway, donate. We'll figure it out. I'll put like a tracker in the the link. How much are we getting there? Are we starting a GoFundMe? Who knows? Anyway.
A $50 GoFundMe to make the host of the Survivor TBT podcast suffer.
Anyway, that's it. That's all. Bumper.
All right, so this episode came out on April 24th of 2008. Pretty slow week between episodes. The only thing really of note was NBA owners give approval of a potential Seattle Supersonics relocation to Oklahoma City in a 28-2 vote by the Board of Governors.
Boo.
Is that where the Supersonics went? Was Oklahoma City?
Yep.
Okay. I didn't know if that was the final resting place.
I mean, kind of, yeah.
Why does Oklahoma City want a basketball team more than Seattle?
Seattle has kind of a rundown-ish arena.
Oh.
And...
It's always about the arena.
It's always about the arena. And Oklahoma City was so hungry for a team because that's their only team.
Yeah.
That's all they got.
Yeah.
Is a basketball team. So honestly, it's not a bad financial move for them to move that team. I absolutely hate that for the city.
I know
it's
one of the more infamous ones.
It drives me up the wall that an owner would take a team and just say, no, I'm moving it.
That billionaires will basically extort a city in order to get a free stadium that they could just buy with their own billions of dollars that they then benefit off of. Crazy. Anyway.
Hiding my Viking shame.
It's every team. It's every owner. Anyway. The number one song on the chart has changed to Bleeding Love by Leona Lewis. I think it's back. I think that was there for a minute, and then it was Touch My Body, and now it's back. The top five movies are Prom Night, 21, 88 Minutes, The Forbidden Kingdom, and at number one, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Mm.
Steven, are you familiar with Forgetting Sarah Marshall?
Yes, this is, funnily, Marshall from How I Met Your Mother.
Yes, yeah, Jason Segel. So,
yeah.
Struggling musician Peter Breder, Jason Segel, is better known as the boyfriend of TV star Sarah Marshall, Kristen Bell. After she unceremoniously dumps him, he feels lost and alone, but makes a last-ditch bid to get over it by going to Hawaii. However, she and her new boyfriend, Russell Brand, are there in the same hotel. What do you think this rated on Rotten Tomatoes, Steven?
I think this is kind of a cult movie. I want to say it's a critic score of 62, an audience score of 83.
You're low on the critic and high on the audience.
Damn.
84 critic. It's good. And audience is 76.
Okay.
So a little lower. But no, it's just a good movie. With ample laughs and sharp performances, Forgetting Sarah Marshall finds just the right mix of romantic and raunchy comedy.
Nice. I did miss a message on Reddit. Just how Reddit does their messages is kind of weird sometimes. There's like the chat messages, and then there's a different section for messages.
Mm-hmm.
Hunter of Rain responded to your question discussing the Emerge Getaway excursion, who would be the funniest pairing.
Oh, yes.
Goes Parv and Eric, because Parv would have Eric quitting the game by the end of his own volition. It was like talking him into leaving.
Yeah, that's true.
That's hilarious. Oh, good stuff. Okay. Sorry, anything else for your facts?
Nope, that's it.
All right. Then let us get into the episode.
that getaway, that merge retreat ends with him or her like owning the deed to his soul or something.
Yeah, just give me your wallet and your house. And
she'd have his social security number, that's for sure.
Anyway, episode 11, I'm ruthless and I have a smile on my face.
Okay, so the pre-episode last time on, holy shit, could we be glazing Ozzy any harder?
Yes.
Oh, this, I knew Survivor loved Ozzy, although I was a little curious because he was getting a lot of bad press the last few episodes, at least from my perspective. Like, he was getting a lot of him being too arrogant and cocky, but now the show's being like, our hero Ozzy was betrayed.
How dare they?
And I'm like, so were we supposed to feel like Ozzy was the hero and protagonist of the season then? Because it felt like he was born to die like 5 episodes ago. Like, pretty much from the tribe swap, it felt like he was gonna be going home before too long.
It does seem like they had a discrepancy with their two editors, that one was like, oh, I love this guy, and one was like, well, we have to tell the story of why he inevitably ran into his own demise head first.
Yeah, he ignored all of the red flags and ended up here.
Yeah. So we start the episode, and man, I don't understand my own note. Jared, do you want to start the episode?
Well, we're at 4 fans and 4 favorites at the start of this episode, which is kind of crazy. Although the fans don't feel like they have any agency at this point.
No.
Like, Jason does not. Eric does not. He's along for the ride. Natalie has a little bit, and Alexis might have a little bit. But compared to the other 3 women, they absolutely do not. So even though the numbers are even, the presence on the show is very much not.
Oh, this is why I wrote it this way. So Eric is talking about the vote.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, hey, you know what? That vote only works if it was airtight. If you would have told me, I would have told him. Great move.
He's so honest. He's so honest.
Oh, you sweet summer child.
I mean, honestly, like, it's who he is, and being who you are in Survivor isn't usually a bad move.
No, I think it's key.
I think that's what the kind of thing that's kept him around this long. Like, he, by all rights, should have gone home way before the merge.
And yet.
And yet.
Here we are. James talks to Amanda and Parv eventually, like, hey, sometimes you gotta pull the punches. It was a good move, but
James respects it too. I like that.
I might be in trouble here. And Amanda on the other side, Parv made me look like an idiot. They want the men out. You know what? Bring it on. Bring it on.
So this was an act? I have a hard time believing that she knew this vote was coming with these scenes. Like, why say this at all, then? Why give this confession?
It's very strange.
You don't
Unless
have...
she's playing it up for the camera?
I guess, but you don't have to give this confessional. I mean, I guess you have to give a confessional, but you don't... I don't know.
You don't have to give this one.
Yeah. It's weird.
It is weird. James shows us his cut that's super infected. Suri is like, dude, you good, bro?
And literally, while they were voting, I remembered this moment, why did we talk about that?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is why. Because
we need someone to go look at that finger,
hey, if
please.
The nurse says maybe somebody should look at that, just maybe somebody should look at it, James.
Yeah, from my understanding, he was kind of hiding it from production. Not like entirely hiding it, but it's like, no, just don't worry about it.
James seems like the kind of guy who doesn't go to the doctor.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll get over it.
And Cerise says, hey, we're living in a damp, nasty cave. You can't just have something like that and assume it's going to be fine. Like, you got to go get that looked at and fixed.
They're not going to pull you, dude. Like, just get some stitches or some, like, some triple antibiotic cream. I don't know.
Parv has to... Oh, go ahead.
I just want to say, remember when I said that Amanda wouldn't make it far in Fans vs. Favorites because she looked so healthy for the China reunion? And wow, that was a bad take, huh?
I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm glad that you did.
I remembered that this episode. I went, huh.
Huh.
I guess... But hey, they have been well-fed.
They have been well-fed. It's a much, much different game than in China.
Yeah.
An abundance of food, an abundance of... Ozzy giving you food, and an abundance of cake in this episode.
Yeah.
Yep. Parv is going on damage control, and James is having none of it. Like, what are you doing? The paranoia got the better of you. And Parv says, you know what? I couldn't beat Ozzy. So who are you going to take to three? Girls?
Sorry. You got to respect the honesty.
Yeah, sorry. It's not going to be you.
She can't. She doesn't think she can beat you either. No. So, yeah, you got to go.
And James's response is funny. You say sorry, but ha-ha is what you mean.
I think she really means sorry here. Like, she likes James.
She likes James.
But that doesn't mean you don't take somebody to Final Three because you like them. Although plenty of people have.
And she says it. I wanted to talk to you about this because I like you and I didn't want it to be awkward. And James is like, no, it's going to be awkward.
I loved this whole conversation. And, like, huge credit to Parv for... She might be the first contestant I can think of that has the next day plan or foresight of like, I did the big move. I feel like a lot of people get stuck in the now what, or like the, okay, now I have my people and fuck the rest of them. And Parv is like, okay, I knew this was going to be controversial. And now I have some conversations I need to have. And I can't remember, like we've seen, I had little bits of it of like, oh, I might not have told this person I need to go talk to them now as their ally. But Parv is like, I have shaken up the entire camp and now I'm in damage control mode. And I don't remember that being voiced before. It's refreshing.
It is refreshing. I think it's oftentimes looked at as jury management at this scenario where you're like, you're going and I feel bad about it, but I still like you. Bud, friend. Please get off my island.
You're right. I guess the difference is Parv is doing a little bit of the Todd thing, actually, of like, hey, it's a game. Like, I'm here to win it. It's a game. Sorry.
James loves this Adam and Eve analogy.
Oh, he loves the bite in the apple
with
analogy.
The apple? Yeah.
Except, like, James, this time she didn't bite the apple. She got rid of the snake in the garden that was going to cause her to lose the game.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess she's the snake in this analogy.
It's not a one-to-one reference.
No. But she didn't... the sweet deal that is the apple for you, or staying in the garden, this sweet deal in the Garden of Eden analogy, was sweet for you and for Ozzy. But she looked at it and went, hey, this garden kind of sucks for me, actually. If we get to four or five, and then I just lose to one of the two guys that will walk to the end...
Although if you look at it like from a purely biblical sense, which is not a sentence that I would ever say, if he's considering himself Adam and he was kind of in a thing with his Parv Eve,
it's true.
And Eve goes and bites the apple to screw up his Garden of Eden, it kind of works.
That means Amanda was his Eve in China.
Oh. Yeah.
Except they didn't have a thing.
They didn't have a thing.
But she's the one that bit the apple in China.
Hilarious. And this is really interesting that Parv responds with a, you wouldn't give me credit for my plan anyway.
Yeah. She knows that she is underestimated unless she makes it explicitly clear that she is the one driving the car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that might be why I like this episode more, because I like the fallout of it more than the plan.
Interesting. Yeah. I can see why you would say that, because there's a lot of talking your way through something that like, yes, I did this plan. It was great. But now how do I wriggle myself out of it?
Or even just, like, make my case. Like, I don't think she's trying to wriggle out of anything here. She's like, hey, here's all the thought process that I had for the last several days that I couldn't talk to you about. And it's not, I'm not just making excuses. This was my strategy.
Yeah. Okay. And then...
And I think that Parv, you know, obviously she's making this women's alliance, which could be, if the five of them stick together, the most successful women's alliance in the history of the show.
Could be.
Because Vanuatu was close and would be the strongest one besides us, but Chris won.
Okay, wait. Let's do a Chris move here. If any guy could win this... Well, there's only...
There's two left.
There's two guys. Which James. Of the two? James?
There's James, yeah. I think James might win if he gets to the end. Mm. I don't think he's going to get to the end. He could get medevac next episode, apparently. I don't think that's going to happen. But every time I say that, I'm wrong. So now he'll probably get medevac.
He'll probably get medevac.
Parv seems to be acutely aware of misogyny here. I mean, of course she is. She has lived it in her life.
Yeah.
And has played the game before where she experienced it, I'm sure. But knowing that as a woman, she has to work harder and is like almost like unashamedly owning that. And I love it.
Yeah.
Well, same with Natalie, too, of course.
Yeah, same with Natalie. But I think she has to kind of tell this big, strong man who does everything by himself and doesn't necessarily trust the women, hey, give me credit for the thing that I did.
Well, and to be fair, shouldn't trust the women now.
Right.
In the game of Survivor.
Yep. And then just to tie up this with a nice bow, Amanda, while is pissed about this, like, I don't want Parv to know that I'm pissed about this. So she asks, hey, it's still us three to the end, right? Amanda, Suri, and Parv. Right?
Might be.
Could be. Anyway.
I mean, that is an interesting final three in which I think Amanda gets no votes, to be fair.
Hmm. Actually, yeah, give me the vote breakdown for that if it's a final three.
Dude, I don't know.
If maybe it's
Amanda,
that final three.
Maybe Amanda gets a James vote because they clearly have a friendship at this point as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't do that off the cuff right now, I think.
That's fine.
Yeah, we got too much to talk about this episode.
All right.
I think it'd be really close, though.
Survivor Auction! Hooray!
There was no lead up to this.
Nah.
Which just shows how fucking jam-packed this episode and these episodes and this season is, that there's no, like, we're doing the auction, or, like, the confessionals being like, I'm so hungry, blah, 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 that we usually get before this stuff happens. It's just like, oh, and we're doing it. Okay, great.
We got shit to do.
We ain't got no fucking time to lead up into this.
All right, $20 increments, no sharing of your money, no sharing the items.
Okay.
All right, let's go right into it.
I like it when they can share better personally, but...
I don't.
I like when they can share... items. I wish they could share items, but not money. Mm. Ah, but then you feel obligated to share.
Take
sharing.
It back. All
no
right.
Sharing.
You worked your way right back to where we started.
Yep.
First one's a covered item. It is $120 to Suri. She tried to short Jeff $20.
Short Jeff.
Crazy, man.
Do you think she did that on purpose?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
The absolute gall that people have in Survivor sometimes makes me chuckle.
There's nothing in the rules that says a golden retriever can't short pay you for that cheeseburger.
It was a hot dog and fries.
A hot dog and fries, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Second one was $80 to Eric, also covered, but wait, you can switch to this other one, which is better. I love that we just talked about the Monty Hall problem. This isn't the Monty Hall problem.
I was gonna say, yeah, that's not this, but...
But it just made me think about it.
And he does switch, and he is right.
Yep, and he gets, instead of octopus, he gets nachos.
Hey, Survivor.
Yeah. I'm Survivor in this scenario.
That's a raw octopus.
Uh-huh.
Was he supposed to eat that right there? Was he allowed to take that back to camp?
Maybe it was fermented.
Oh.
Pickled octopus.
Oh, God. But it wasn't cooked.
Okay. Third one, also covered, $240 fruit bat soup.
Were they all covered?
No, the first three were.
Because I remember at this point I wrote down, are these all covered?
Natalie wins it for $240. She doesn't want any bit of this, and James is like, I'll take it. It was great.
Gross.
It was great.
So gross.
I love it, James. Number four, a PB&J sandwich.
It is funny that it's like no sharing, but Jeff just lets James eat his food.
Yeah.
Or eat her food. But like, of course he is, because it's a punishment. It's not a reward.
That's good TV too. Take this.
TV.
Go on. Someone's gonna eat it. The PB&J goes to Amanda for $280.
Sure.
Even Jeff was surprised. Like, are you sure?
Spend your money early.
Spend it
early.
There
are not nearly as many items as you think there are going to be.
And this is the first thing that they knew what it was. So by all means, go ahead, take your sandwich.
Yeah, no letters to family.
Nope.
No non-food prizes except saying, fuck you, Jason, in particular.
Yeah. So... Number five was also covered, $240 to Natalie, and it's just a note. At this point, Natalie has received three items, no food. This note says, send someone to exile and take their money. And she has to take a moment. Oh, this is a slam dunk. We're sending Jason. Wait, is the idol live?
And there's a moment where I think Jeff forgot about that.
Uh-huh.
Because he goes, production. Yep. Like he like looks off camera and is like, yep, yep, it's been rehidden.
Yep. Here are the rules. It was voted out with him in his possession. He didn't play it. Therefore, there are new clues. There is a new idol. It's fair game.
And she still sends him.
And she sends Jason. He begs not to be sent.
That as well. And this starts a really fun arc, and one of the ones I will remember for a very long time, which is a heist. This starts a heist.
It does, kind of.
Of the five women. And kind of James. And kind of Eric. They're around. They know it's happening, but they're not involved. Because they talk about this plan in front of the two of them, which I thought was kind of crazy.
Sure.
And foolish on the guy's part, but we'll get there. But it's a heist where they're the ones that caused the problem that now they have to solve.
Yes.
And don't get me wrong.
The best of heist movies.
I love this whole rest of this episode. I think it's very fun, and I think that they did it exactly how they should have, but there's just a little voice in the back of my head going, you all are so proud of yourselves for solving a problem that you created that you didn't need to create.
That Natalie specifically created.
It's so funny.
Yeah, so...
It's so stupid and so funny.
Despite the begging... Prior to and after being told that the idol is live, Natalie sends him.
And you know he's already found it once. Like, you know that what he got was a fake.
Yeah.
But it's a fake that Ozzy hid where the real one was. And I think you could put that together if you really think about it. Like, why would Ozzy hide a fake one in a fake spot? That doesn't make a lot of sense. So he's probably going to find it again.
And Natalie, just to kick the puppy on his way out the door, I don't know why he's tripping. Like, I gave him something good.
And if I know that Jason is unobservant and dumb and doesn't really seem to understand his role in the game, maybe life, and just seems to have the charisma of Plank from Ed, Edd n Eddy, but how do you watch her do this and think that she is saying, we are friends, go look for the idol? Like, she's holding back a smirk from flipping you off. Like, there is, how do you misread that?
All flags are red when you're wearing rose-tinted glasses, my friend.
Don't I know it.
And Jeff also kicking from the other leg. Hey, this time he might get a real idol. Hilarious.
Jeff hates this motherfucker so much.
Yeah. The sixth item, $380 of now Jason's money, now Natalie's money. Gets a big-ass chocolate cake.
Nice.
And James knew what this was the minute that cake was lifted. He's like, not this shit again. You get to share with three people, but you only get 60 seconds. And Natalie immediately goes into defensive mode. Don't hog the cake. I didn't get any food. I'm a little aggro right now.
Natalie's scary.
She's a little scary. So they do. So Parv, Alexis, and Sri join Natalie in eating this cake. It's funny to watch, but the funnier thing is, once again, Eric. Hey, I'll pay you $20 to lick your fingers,
Eric,
after.
Stop being so horny.
He's so horny.
Stop being so horny. And I don't think, let me be clear, I can hear you typing. I don't actually think Eric was being horny here. I think he just wanted cake.
He just wanted the cake.
But when you've had the boobs edit, you now are licking women's fingers for money. It's getting weird, dude.
Help, I was transported to another world where I must lick fingers for $20.
Must pay money to lick fingers.
Oh, no. That's a bad economy.
That is...
Unless you're really into that, I guess.
I've had someone offer me money for my sandals as a foot thing.
What are they doing with your sandals?
No, I was like walking, and they offered money to smell my feet, and then offered to buy my sandals.
That's right.
Yeah,
you told me that.
Yeah, it was weird.
I hate that.
I almost did it.
No shame. Like, no shame. No shame on people who like feet. I don't like feet.
No, but Eric likes licking fingers.
I like the fingies.
And he's just so. They've also been calling him like a little puppy dog, and now he's literally licking the food off of people's fingers.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? He got cake.
The Flanderization of Eric is being done to him by him.
Ceri takes the deal. She's like, hey, I'll give you $20 for each finger to lick. He's like, no, $40 to lick the finger. We'll just be in the middle here. And James, there's something wrong with that boy.
I'm with James. I'm with James.
Oh. Then we
Eric discovered new fetishes on this island. That's all I'm saying.
He learned a thing or two from the tobacco nut. We saw some boobs. We had some
Eric's
tobacco.
Been on a whole fucking spiritual journey.
Maybe we just make the Eric edit of this season.
Tobacco nut maxing to lick those fingers real good.
He shows up. He gets absolutely enraged and dunks people into the
oh
water.
My God,
dirt.
I forgot that he's an aggro monster in challenges too.
He sees red. He sees boobs. He's like, yeah, boobs. I'm gonna drink and get super high, and then see boobs once again.
And then
lick fingers. Honestly, what a spiritual journey he's on.
What a journey. He didn't win $1 million, but he won something.
You don't know that yet.
I do.
How can you say that with such certainty? He is a nice boy. Everyone likes a nice boy.
He is a nice boy. He better win every immunity from here on out and then have final tribal where he doesn't trip over his own dick. He would trip over his own dick.
I'm just going to keep my mouth shut.
Anyway. He could actually be, you know what? Honestly, he probably could have a really wholesome final tribal. If Eric wins this fucking season, I'm going to lose my goddamn mind right now.
So anyway, that's the end of the auction. We get back to camp and we're just dunking on Jason. Parv goes that he was the luckiest survivor ever. Like how?
Hey, once again, this is not luck. You sent him. You made a decision. It is not luck.
Natalie says, if he gets the idol, I'm going to lose it. The little bitch has 2 days of sunshine with the idol. Guaranteed.
The weather's luck, but the rest of it is not luck.
Guaranteed that bitch will find it. The bitch being Jason. I love that she had to clarify on that one.
I think she's wanted to call Jason the bitch a second time in that sentence.
A third time.
Oh,
in
right.
The sentence. Yeah, it was two, but man.
God, she hates him so much.
She does. She wanted to get rid of it, like send him away for 2 days. Oh no, I just gave him the idol. Well, anyway.
Help, I went to exile and I've been turned into an idol.
I've been turned into an Aussie knockoff. Ozzy goes home.
We don't need to get Ozzy. We have Ozzy at home.
Ozzy Light. Oh. Then Alexis and the ladies say, all right, well, let's search him immediately when he gets back. He steps off the boat. We're going to like strip search him. Like this is TSA and he's got a spoon shoved up his butt.
Clearly they forgot that he will be coming back at immunity.
Yeah. Oh, man. And Natalie says, hey, if we ever wanted rain, tonight's the day for rain.
Like, tonight's the day.
I said that, and I knew you were going to call me out on
it. I couldn't let that one sit there.
You had to. No, if we're going to rain him out so we can't go find this. Unfortunately,
no,
doesn't happen. At Exile, he just spent the whole time looking for this.
And we don't know how long it takes him to find it.
Right.
But the place he finds is really beautiful, I will say. Like, we haven't seen that. It's like an inlet between, like, two parts of the cliffs, and, oh, God, Palau's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
But I just can't remember a Survivor contestant that is both this uncharismatic and unlikable. It's usually one or the other. Like, John Robert fucking sucked, but he had charisma.
He got that riz.
You didn't like him, but he was entertaining at times. He was gross, but he was entertaining. Like, I think of, like, the people that we've hated, or at least I've hated. Very few of them have been like, oh God, like I'm just also bored when they're on the screen.
Sure.
Like all the entertainment on Jason is everyone else hating Jason. That's all.
That is the entire season.
Yeah.
Just wrapped up.
It's a great subplot.
Fuck Jason.
I think the way to solve the post-merge lulls is not blindsides. It's not idols. It's the unifying theory of fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy in particular. Yeah, he has this bright idea that, hey, Natalie's on my side. She sent me here so I could get the idol. She kept her word that she was going to vote for Ozzy, so I think she did this on purpose. And we could work together.
And now Jason starts the arc that I thought would have been impossible, which is somehow finding the real idol, making you look stupider than finding and trying to play a fake idol.
Yeah.
This episode is more embarrassing for him than the stick. That is a high bar, and he clears it.
He finds the idol. He's very successful in getting that and doing everything he could to stay in the game another day. And yet, back at camp, Suri is talking through this like, hey, you know what? We have to act as if he has the idol. So we're going to split our votes. We got to do him, and we got to do James, on the other hand. So even if he plays it, he's going home. It kind of throws everything into a little bit of chaos if either of those two win immunity. But yeah, we have this spare Eric guy back here who just, he's hanging out. We'll throw him in next.
We will kill the boy on his 22nd birthday. Yeah. We don't want to, we but don't we will.
Want to. It is his birthday. It's cute. They all give him hugs and celebrate. And when he wins immunity, it's all very nice.
The girl's relationship with Eric is what Jason thinks his relationship with the girls is. Where they all love him and are just like, ah, well, you know, you're our sixth. You're not going to make it farther than that. But like, hey, man, you're our favorite one to keep around. That's what Jason thinks he is.
Mm-hmm. And then Amanda and Natalie concoct this plan to be like, all right, we need to convince him that James cannot win immunity and that his sole goal must be keeping James from winning immunity. Unfortunately, it's the leftovers challenge, and he doesn't have any agency in this.
Only kind of the leftovers challenge. They weren't aspects of challenges that really stuck out to me. Like, they felt very generic.
They all were elements that were from a challenge.
I know, but they were elements that could have been part of any challenge in any season.
Yeah.
They weren't ones that, like, felt like high points or like moments of the season themselves.
They were such short snippets too that it felt very disjointed.
I didn't like this challenge very much.
I kind of wish that they just did it all in one run.
Yeah, me too.
Instead of, oh, okay, cut in half, we have a winner.
What was the clue to this challenge? Did you write it down?
I didn't write it down.
Okay, because I wrote down the note that this challenge could be the weenus by the clue.
Could be the weenus?
From Game Changer. Everybody do the weenus. The weenus is a dance.
Everybody is a genius if you know it in advance.
Watch Game Changer.
My God, we just circle back around and suddenly the the weenus is in Borneo. Okay, I need to move on. Immunity challenge. Like you said, it's the leftovers. The first section, you have to throw rocks at tiles. First four to get through, move on. We have to then dig for a key, assemble a wheel, which was the first challenge, and then spin the wheel to lower a plank to the bottom. First two to get through, move on. And then you have to cross a rope bridge with planks and then do discs, which they should have done the other way around because the planks was clearly the harder one.
Yeah.
Anyway, right before, because he had just gotten off the boat and walked up, and then we explained the challenge, Jason and Natalie have a little aside as we're setting up, and they're like, hey, don't let James can't win this, and then we're good. I sent you there for a reason. Or actually, I don't even know if she said that. I think he said it back to her.
I think he's like, yeah, I could tell right away that you sent me there for a reason once I thought about it.
Yes, that is what I did. You genius, you. How could you see through that?
So, Natalie and Jason, and less criticism on Natalie because she knows who she's talking to and doesn't need to think that hard about it. But hey, Jason, why would she says anyone but you or James needs to win immunity? Why would it matter if you're not the one to win immunity? Like, I don't think
she said that. She says something. He can't win.
She said basically like stop anyone. Like we need someone. But I thought I remember something of her saying. I wish we were on the exact phrasing, but like it implied like basically that he needs to stop James from winning immunity, including like him losing.
I think that's what was said at camp to him specifically. I think she just said, don't let James win.
Okay. I might've misremembering then, but there was something in that conversation that made me go, Jason, if you think about that for even 1 second, she's basically saying that they're voting you out.
Nah, we don't do that here. Thinking's for squares.
Jason does a lot of thinking. It's just... It's everything he's doing is calculated, but he is terrible at math.
And then we run the challenge. Jason, Eric, James, and Amanda do the tiles, or complete the tiles first. James and Eric complete the wheel puzzle.
Amanda can never even find her bag.
Yeah.
She's just, rumors say she's still digging for it to this day.
And James tries to do the rope bridge sideways, but he loses his plank and it goes like halfway across the challenge. I thought he was going to interfere with Eric.
Me too.
And then James has to get back in it. He's way behind, so Eric is going slow and steady.
James
almost catches up with him. And if not for a pretty quick circles section, he might have got him.
Do you think Jason goes home this episode if James wins immunity? Do you think they could convince him that Eric was the target?
I don't. Well, I shouldn't say that. Probably they could convince him.
Yeah,
I think
probably.
It's much more of a difficult sell than before.
I guess they could be like, look how close Eric got to immunity. We got to get rid of him before it's too late.
Let me put it this way. If Parv is telling him, hey, you're good, no, he's going to play it. If Natalie is telling him to jump off a cliff, he's going to do it.
God, Natalie's so ruthless. We get like 12 confessions of her, and to the point that honestly it does get a little bit tedious by the last one or two, because it's like, or not even like by the last one, just like they get so long. They leave the camera on her for a long time in confessionals, her just basically being like, we're evil. And I do, listen, I support women's rights and their wrongs.
Okay, I had to think really hard about what you just said, but okay.
We love, the Survivor Turn Back Time podcast stands evil women.
I guess
it goes on a little bit.
I also stand Electric Light Orchestra. They have a song, Evil Woman.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, just to tie that in a nice little bow.
Thank you.
Oh, that was the end of the
sentence? That was the end of the sentence.
Okay. Okay, we get a nice little happy birthday. Eric wins. Back at camp, Parv is joyous. The ladies are literally and figuratively stirring the pot.
And they are so lucky that it's Eric's birthday, because they get to celebrate him winning, because they don't hide it well at all.
No.
They're so excited that Eric wins this. And like the fact that James lost, I guess they can be like, hey, Jason, it's because James lost, but also they can be like, it's because it's Eric's birthday. Like, it kind of keeps suspicions low.
I think there was genuine happiness that he won on his birthday.
I agree. But
even beyond the Jason didn't win.
I agree. And James didn't win.
Right.
I agree. I do think part of it was that. And if it wasn't, it keeps any suspicions away.
Parv talks about how, hey, the ladies are in charge now. We run this roost. We're the Black Widow Brigade.
That's catchy.
We spin them around until they don't know which way is up, and then we devour them one at a time.
I feel like Black Widow Brigade has to be famous. That's just too catchy to not be like some like in the Survivor lexicon.
So if you go on the like Survivor wikis, they list alliances. Black Widow Brigade is one that is listed on a few of these people. Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, actually on 5 of these people, let's be real.
Right, yes.
Yep. Jason then goes out to fish immediately. Hey, remember when you got this idol and everyone will be curious if you got this idol or not, and everyone knows that you went to a place where there is an idol, and then you immediately walk away from camp leaving your idol there?
Remember when he hid it before, when the fake one?
Yeah.
Now he's just not hiding it and looking for it. Like, going through Jason's bag in front of these two guys, I guess they have the numbers that it can't blow up in their face, can it? Because they can split the vote in such a way that James or Jason is going home no matter what.
I mean, there's only one idol. There's nothing anyone can do at this point.
Well, no, I meant like they tell Jason he plays the idol, the three of them vote for Parv. But that doesn't matter because they can still have three women vote for... Wait, no. Yeah, that could have worked. Right? Yeah, no, the guys could have flipped this. They tell Jason, hey, they know they have your idol. They're going to vote for you. The three of them vote for Parv. Three women vote for Jason. Two women vote for James. Parv goes home.
Honestly, the way to flip this, in my opinion, is going after Amanda.
Interesting.
Because Amanda seems like the one most hesitant with where she stands in
but
these
you don't
ladies.
Have to. You can cut the head off of the Black Widow Brigade just by going and telling Jason that they found your idol and that they're going to vote you out tonight. Like, why get rid of Amanda, who's not a major player, if you think Parv is running the game? And you can get rid of her today.
Mm-hmm. And here's...
But James doesn't have a good social game.
James doesn't
and
have
Eric
a good...
is a puppy dog.
Yeah. Neither James nor Eric really has agency in this and is willing to kind of like rally people behind them.
Because
James is settled with, he really wants to go to final with Amanda. And in order to do that, he would have to betray Amanda. And I think he's very hesitant on Parv right now.
Yeah, you could just get rid of Parv. That breaks up that whole alliance. And you have two groups of two that Parv was keeping together. And you guys, the men have three. Like, maybe those four can stick together, but it makes it much dicier.
It does.
This episode is presented as a masterclass by the women, and it is, because Survivor is messy and there's a lot going on. But, man, there are so many mistakes by them here.
If everyone was scrapping in the same way, I think you're 100% right. But people don't want Jason there. Nobody wants Jason there.
That is true. That is true. The unifying theory of fuck that guy.
Not a one person wants Jason there.
Yeah, you're right.
So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
forgot that they all hate Jason. Yeah. How could I?
It's really funny because we just continued dunking on Jason through the rest of this before we go to tribal. It would be perfect if he went out just like Ozzy. Did you see Jeff ask me about the idol, says Natalie? I think I played this off all right. And then Natalie saying, I think I'm pretty evil. I can be evil. I'm in game mode now. I'm getting to be myself. I'm having more fun, which is ruthless, stone cold bitch.
So Natalie, heroes versus villains.
I say nothing. James and Amanda speak that James wants to vote Parv because, hey, if we all vote for Jason and I throw a vote on Parv and Jason plays his idol, then Parv goes home, or at least puts it in a little bit more chaos.
Sure.
Because Jason's going to vote for me.
But it wouldn't, because you'd have two votes on James and one.
You'd then have a split vote and we'd have to re-vote and it would change the entire dynamic of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, with a field of five ladies, that's not too great.
Yeah. Yeah, the only hope would be to work with Jason, which James doesn't want to do, and I do not blame him.
Oh, and I forgot about this quote that I have to say. Natalie, we're 2-0 for the ladies on Blindsides. I wanted to floss my teeth with his jugular.
This is what I mean. There's just so many of them all back-to-back of Natalie being like, I'm so evil. I'm so evil. And I love them.
I am sharpening the longest, pointiest sword for his back. It's great.
This is how you know production also hated Jason, because they just let Natalie have like 5 straight minutes of airtime being like, hey, fuck that guy.
Yeah. So we get to tribal and we start by dunking Ozzy from across the fire.
No, we start by Ozzy flipping off the camera.
Oh, I missed that part.
Oh, yeah. When the jury's walking over, Ozzy flips off the jury over, or contestants, not the camera, flips off the contestants over his shoulder, which, like, man, I do not like piss boy Ozzy.
He's still bitter. I'm okay if you want to be bitter that first night. Fine. Emotions are raw. 3 nights later, come on, man.
I mean, this is how he was in the beginning of Cook Islands, too.
I know.
I don't like piss boy Ozzy.
And then we don't need a provider. We don't need someone getting us a whole bunch of food. We can all get food. We're all big boys. Don't worry about it. James talks about how it doesn't look too good for old James here tonight.
Doesn't look good for old Jamesy boy.
Parv did what she did to get rid of Ozzy. And Ozzy from the bench, son of a bitch.
That's what his face says. It does feel like they put proverbial duct tape over his mouth. Like, I don't know how he didn't say anything. I know the jury never does.
They're not supposed to say anything.
I know, but man, I'm surprised he had that level of self-control.
I think even if they do, in most scenarios, they won't show the audio of them responding to the crowd. I'm sure they are very much warned that they can.
Yeah.
They might be fined or something.
We've seen the jury talk to each other, though.
Yeah, that's completely fine. And Jason talks about how, hey, things are kind of looking up. Everything I do raises my social status here. from like giving away food for everyone to going and being friends with people. But then I was away for a little bit on exile, and that makes me nervous.
Do you think people that are this delusional are like just happier than everybody else?
Yes.
Yeah. Or do you think they know? Do you think somewhere deep down in Jason's soul, he knows? I will say it is funny that the shot of him with the ladies on the beach before Tribal,
mm-hmm.
where they're just all talking about, like, I guess their dating lives. Like, it comes down on a part up, like, Alexis being like, oh, I any guy approaches me, I clam right up, or, you know, whatever they're talking about. And it feels like they're just old yellering him, but that would imply they actually like him. I think it's more they're just like holding him in containment so that he can't talk to any of the guys.
Right.
But he's like, I'm their best friend now. Holy shit, man.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot with the rest of it. It's just going around in circles talking, like, we're all playing a little bit of a shell game here. And then Jeff says, hey, if you want to do something crazy, you can give away the idol, Eric. He's like, I'm not crazy. I'm going to keep my idol.
Oh, the necklace. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. Yeah. The immunity necklace. Not the immunity idol.
Very give away different. Jason's idol.
Yeah. Here, take it from his pocket. And then we vote. And James has a great reaction to a no idol play because he is expecting an idol.
Yeah. He thinks he's going home.
Yeah.
He's like, no way this guy's this dumb.
Turns out he's this dumb.
Turns out he's this dumb.
On a 4-3-1 line, Jason is gone.
It only wasn't a sweep because they wanted to split the votes to make absolutely sure.
As they should.
There was a little transitionary shot that I think is some good storytelling
mm-hmm.
of a face in the fire. Not like a human face, like a mask face. That I was like, that's a stick with a face.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
That's nice. I think that's calling back to the fake idol.
That's good symbolism.
Yeah.
Before we get into Jason, James has to get pulled aside to take a look at his finger. Why do you think they did this here?
Is this just where Jeff first noticed it?
I think it was noticed today, or people were like, this is becoming a problem. But they didn't want to do anything until after Tribal on the off chance that he gets voted out.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah. Yeah. What they would have done to Chet if he wouldn't have gotten voted out that mm-hmm. episode where they basically say, hey, come on over here and then pull him. Although I don't think they're going to pull James, although now they will because I said that.
Like, they didn't want to manipulate numbers
yeah.
if for some reason he gets, like, pulled and isn't able to attend tribal council for any reason.
Yeah, that's a good point. Or, like, a target. Like, can you vote for somebody that's not there?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I assume if you don't make tribal, you're done.
And it's not, like, emergent, right? Like, it's something that they need to get take care of that day, but they don't need to take care of that minute.
From everything that we've seen and how he's talking about this, it's, yeah.
Although nothing. James does seem like the kind of guy that could have his leg chopped off and be like, I'm fine.
That is a good point. How do you think Jason does in Future Survivor?
He's a fucking clown, man. The camera ignored him, and it seems like people ignored him until they just couldn't anymore. He's the anti-Terry. Like, people didn't like Terry, but they respected him. They don't like Jason and they don't respect him, but he's also good at challenges. So he has the chance of, you know, he's going to stick around a little bit in the team game. He's a little too good to, like, want to first boot him. But at the same time, like, I don't know. He's not a threat. That's part of the problem, too. Like, the only reason he stuck around this long is because he won immunities, but also because, like, he's not a threat to win the game. Everyone fucking hates him. So he could go... He goes in the game exactly how long as his tribe can physically put up with him.
How long can we stand you?
I think he doesn't last as long in a season without Exile Island where they can literally send him away for days at a time. I think in a season without Exile Island, he's gone before the merge. In a season with Exile, yeah, maybe he makes like top five because it's like, fuck it, he's a goat. But he drives everyone insane.
Yeah.
It's weird to have a player that, like, when they go home is purely when you can no longer tolerate being around them.
Oh, boy. So, yeah, he's not coming back.
No.
As
I'm surprised he kicked off mid-show.
And as we've said before, nobody liked him on the show. Nobody liked him after the show. It's interesting. He is the first Survivor contestant from the U.S. Virgin Islands.
Okay.
And after the show is done, he just kind of goes back to the Virgin Islands and runs a boat company or something.
Okay.
Yeah. So,
do you have any anecdotes from the show?
Yes and no. I want other people's opinions here because it requires a lot of digging.
Okay.
There's the Kathy AMA, I think, dunks him into oblivion.
Sure.
But I have to scroll through a lot of stuff to get to like the actual meat. So I'm outsourcing here. Fans, if you have important anecdotes that you want about Jason, and I know people have talked about this before, so I feel okay sending this to the fans, our fans, not the fans who are
what's
on
coming
the show.
From the fans.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, this is Survivor. Everybody who listens to this podcast versus favorites. Yeah, and there is a... Oh, interesting. I'm now realizing that there's an interview with Jason, but it's from his company that he owns. Like,
of course
on
it
his
is.
Website.
Of course it is.
It says, if casting directors wanted me to return, I would have heard something. And 2026 is too far away to plan to be in Survivor. But if they ever have a season with all returning players who didn't use their hidden immunity idol, I'd be in for sure. That's funny. That's so funny. He lists his highlights.
Is he the homophobic one?
I think so.
That would make sense.
Like I said, I'm not finding it in my initial scroll, but it's got to be here somewhere. So okay. I'm going to outsource this one, and hopefully people will let me know, hey, he did this thing. Your protagonist of the episode.
I mean, it's Natalie. Like, it has to be Natalie. She gets so much screen time. And the whole plan, both the plan and the reason for needing the plan are because of Natalie. It's one of the stronger, like, not every episode has a strong protagonist. Sometimes it's the story of multiple people, or it's the story of a move, or it's the story of a circumstance, even. This is Natalie's fucking episode. And she's had very little up to this point. And they just went, 11 episodes in, here you go. This one's for Natalie.
Nice. Okay. Here's the anecdote that I dug. I know I said I wasn't going to, but here's what Kathy says. Someone asks, do you have any shareable examples of him being dickheadish through things that weren't shown? Let's see. He wouldn't let us help build the shelter. Tracy was a builder and tried to tell him it needed more supports on the bottom. He asked her if she'd ever built a shelter before. Well, no. Well, so get away from me. He would hide the only machete so that we couldn't use it to open coconuts. Try to help rebuild the shelter. Chet followed him and saw where he hid it and took it. And then we were able to build their own shelter finally.
Oh, my God.
When we won Flint, Jason took it and couldn't start a fire. Tracy asked him for it so she could do it. He told her to get out of his camera angle because he wanted to be the one to make it on TV starting our first fire.
Oh my God, that's right. I forgot about that. I don't know if it was confirmed at the time that somebody said that it was Jason, but yeah, wow, okay.
Joel then tried and used up the entire Flint.
Right, okay, yep.
And so we still didn't have a fire. That was the night Chet said he wanted a boat and was going to leave.
Yeah.
Oh boy. Jason telling me I was a liar when I said that every day I had been bailing out the boat so that there would be fresh rainwater in it to drink. I had to set up a bow with string for my belt to try to start a fire. It was always raining and I had found a hole in a tree to try to keep it and some kindling dry. Jason took it and was trying to use it in front of the cameraman. I asked him to put it back in the tree to keep it dry. It started raining and he left it out in the rain, so it was useless. When the shelter got rebuilt, I said he was putting the palm fronds on the roof upside down. He pretty much told me to beat it. Then it rained, and it was wetter in the shelter than outside in the rain. The time I was on exile during the storm, Jason just started taking the palm fronds off the shelter, the palm fronds from their shelter to the other one.
Oh, my God.
Chet almost killed him. I could go on, but he was very egotistical, verbally abusive, and quite divisive. If my kid ever grew up to be like that, I'd ship her off to China. She does not mince words here. So how do you really feel about Jason? If Jason's guts were on fire, I wouldn't pee down his throat to put it out.
channeling her Sue energy.
I have never in my life or since met someone as off-putting as that guy.
Holy shit.
Some people put it off as being a kid, but Eric was there too, and there couldn't have been a bigger difference between them. We all wanted him gone, but Joel said to keep him around because he liked to show off for the cameras and open the coconuts.
Wow.
Yeah.
Joel, not a great judge of character.
No. So I'm sure there's more in there, but feel free to send that my way.
Wow.
Bumper. That'll do it for this episode of the Survivor Turning Back Time podcast. Jared, how you doing?
Man, I'll dunk on fucking idiots all day.
Why not?
John O'Bear last season, Jason this season. I'm sure somebody else next season.
Yeah. What would you like to promote?
I'm just going to... I know I've been doing it more than once a season now, but I want more reviews. Steven still has some toenails left, so
stop.
I can keep pulling them off if we have to. But we did get more reviews since I last threatened violence against Steven, so I figured I'd try it again. Yeah, please review us and tell your friends. We now have listeners in 5 of 7 continents. I guess 6, because like Antarctica. So that's pretty cool. Let's get to 6.
Nice.
What about you, Steven?
I'm going to promote, you want to donate money to random cause that we haven't decided yet.
Yeah, right.
Do that. I'll put that link in the bio or in the episode description. I'm going to C2E2. I don't know if Jared's going to C2E2 yet.
Jared doesn't know if he's going to C2E2.
Yeah. So if anyone else is going to C2E2, I know we're still like a month out. Yeah, we're over a month out. Let me know. I would love to see people if they're there. I'm debating wearing a Jeff Probst costume for one day.
That'd be great.
It'd be pretty great. I have to find... I've looked up this on the internet, but I can't find a good replacement for it. A torch snuffer. Because I think that would be so fun to go around with a torch snuffer in a Jeff costume.
That'd be pretty fun.
It'd be great. So, anyway, let me know if you're going to be there.
Dress as a torch.
All right.
It's a couple's costume.
No. For my co-host Jared, this is Steven.
For my host Steven, this is Jared.
The tribe has spoken.
The tribe has spoken.
Bye-bye. Bye.